Hi, this is Rudy Novotny, the voice of America's marathons. We all love how much running has benefited every aspect of our lives, so much so that most of us only wish we'd started sooner. Wouldn't it be wonderful to give the opportunity to children of today? Well, you can. The Morning Mile is a before-school walking and running program that gives children a chance to start each day in an active way while enjoying fun, music, and friends. That's every child, every day. It's also supported by a wonderful system of rewards, which keeps students highly motivated and frequently congratulated. Created by our favorite fitness expert, Fitz Kohler, Morning Milers across the country have run over 2 million miles and are having greater success with academics, behavior, and sports because of it. The Morning Mile is free to the child, free to the school, and is inexpensively funded by businesses or generous individuals. Help more kids get moving in the morning by visiting morningmile.com. Champion the program at your favorite school or find out more about sponsorship opportunities. That's morningmile.com. Long may you run.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 375 of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on today's show is Michelle Scribner-McLean and Eve Vanderpool of Monorail Media. As Eve, Michelle, and I continue our discussion, this is part two, of the Star Wars Dark Side Race Weekend. We pick it up as we talk about the 10K. With all Run Disney inaugural race weekends, there's always something that happens that the powers that be, the Run Disney brain trust, sometimes does not anticipate. I know it's very hard to figure out how to handle crowds and how to do everything, but there was something that took place at the end of the 10K that Michelle and I wanted to bring to this review, and we want to let everybody know what happened. And Michelle, do you want to tell the story, or do you want me to tell about what happened at the end of the race?
Well, I'm sure I'll tell my version, and then you can tell your version. Mike, you gave me a ride to Epcot, and we decided to take the bus to Epcot. So at the end of the race, there were two options. There was an option to take a bus back to your resort, and there was another option to take the bus back to Epcot. So I kind of, you know, had a lot of friends. I waited for you, Mike. I kind of sat and had my snack. I kind of was just feeling really warm all weekend. I wasn't feeling good, kind of relaxed. And so by the time you finished and we ran into some other people, we were pretty, you know, it was pretty much everybody had finished. So we were directed over to an area where the bus was. And Mike, you'll have to remind me how long there were to get on the bus to the resorts. There were probably, the lines were probably 50 people long. To get on the bus to Epcot, there were 7 switchbacks that were
between 100 and 125 yards long, yeah, on each one.
You couldn't even see from end to end.
Until you get to the last one. The last one was probably 300 to 400. I'd say between 300 and 400 yards long, because it was a long walk to the bus. So
I started timing it. It took us 70 minutes to get on the bus, 15 minutes from there to get to Epcot, and then another, I don't know, 25 minutes to get back to the resort. So from the time we got in line to the time I got back to my room, it was 2 hours. It was long. We were in line longer than it took me to run the 10K.
We could have run back to Epcot.
I
even ran back to the resort.
Pretty awful. People were not happy. And we were standing with a friend of ours, Jill, and another friend, Michael. They just happened to be in line in front of us. And Jill has some issues with standing for a long time. It wasn't like a Disney line where we were moving. You know, it was moving pretty quickly, but we were just doing a lot of standing. And she was looking, you know, to run the half marathon and did not want to be on her feet and had issues with her lower back. So she was saying, my back is hurting, my back is hurting. Luckily for Disney, it was kind of overcast that day, because if it wasn't, people were in the full sun, it would have been a disaster. It was pretty much a disaster anyway, but it was bad. So Mike, what did I miss?
So I think you did an outstanding job of describing it. One of the things, Eve, that probably led to this is that I don't think that the Disney race, Run Disney officials realized there would be that many people who A, drove to Epcot, and or B, wanted to take a bus back to Epcot instead of taking a bus to and from their resort.
And you have to remember too that includes the people who are not on Disney property, so it's not just people who chose to do that.
So here's something that I just thought of. We all know that there is now an option at the Disney theme parks for preferred parking.
Oh, don't even $35. Say it. Don't go down that road. I know
but
where you're going.
I'm telling you, though, but if they said, Mike, we'll let you park at World of Sports.
Shh.
Well, hold on.
But that would mean I'd have to take
or
a
anything?
Bus.
Like, that's like preferred parking. But
yeah, they had cabs. Yeah. And I think one of the other things they thought is that with the character and the photo opportunities, that a lot of people would be doing that. So that would have thinned out the crowd. But I don't think they expected the number of people there. Plus, there was a bus that got stuck in the mud, and that caused a problem. So that was not...
And we should say, too, in the morning, we had a lot of people who were complaining that they were, especially the next morning, the half marathon day, they were waiting for their bus, and their bus never came. In fact, we had a Mickey Milers team picture, and several people missed it. Chris Eliopoulos tried to get a bus at 3:45. He missed the picture. He just made it to the corrals. So.
And you know, guys,
the buses, it wouldn't have made much of a difference.
I can't figure this out, because why? I mean, this has been going on for a long time.
This is an inaugural race, but and the buses were not just Disney buses. They were buses from everywhere.
But
there was not a bus, I'm sure, to be had in the whole city of Orlando. There was like Joe's Bus Company.
even races that have been around for a couple of years, this always seems to be a bus issue. So, yeah. All right, let's give this a grade, Michelle. You ladies first.
I'm gonna try to take away the way I was feeling that day myself. It wasn't a good race for me. I'm gonna say, are we including the transportation? I think we have
the whole experience.
Yeah.
The corral.
I'm gonna give it a C. I like the course. The gravel road doesn't bother me as much. I think that that it would take me more time to get on a bus to go home than run the race is disturbing to me. So, you? Well, let's go to Eve. Oh, Eve wasn't there. Eve doesn't. Yeah.
So, if I take everything in consideration, the gathering area, the corrals, the corral release, the course, the post race refreshments or whatever, and gathering, and then I'd say I'd give it a C too. And I think I don't want to take away from the course, but I think you have to take the whole thing into consideration, because that was a, oh my God, that had to be an 8-hour experience for a 10K, which shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it should be maybe 4 hours or maybe
four. I also wasn't thrilled with the number of water stops. I said I ran without water for the first time. You and I, Mike, did a local 10K just a week before that, and there must have been at least double the number of water stops on that 10K. For just a little local race. So
yeah.
I think there were only about three, and then water at the end. So.
Yep. So.
So anyway.
Oh, well, let's go on
I
to...
I like the medal. Yeah, the medal is a TIE was fighter. Awesome. That was cool. Yeah. I like the shirt.
I did see that. That medal was very cool, actually.
Yeah, it is neat.
All right. It's time for the big one. The Sunday race was the very first Star Wars The Dark Side Half Marathon. It was part of the Dark Side Challenge, which people ran the 10K and the half and were to receive a Dark Side Challenge medal. So, Eve, let's go to you first. Tell us what you thought about that Sunday race.
You know, it was interesting. I was forewarned about the corral walk, that it was actually lengthier than usual.
Yes, it was long. You're right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and for someone who's running like 13.1, I guess I can't really complain considering. But, you know, I really felt like it took a very long time to do that walk. So people just have to be prepared for that. To know that it's going to be longer than usual, and to just allow more time.
Even just getting, like, you know, taking your bus, like we mentioned Chris Eliopoulos.
Right.
You know, when you're stressed out and you're just getting there, and then you have that long, long walk. You're right.
Yeah, and you know, you're kind of hustling maybe a little more than usual because you're like, wow, it's taken a long time, and so you start walking quicker, so you do a quicker walk than you're used to, you know. So yeah, just to allow that amount of time, in addition to however long you usually say, okay, I'm gonna allow 20 minutes to walk, I'd allow like 40 minutes. I mean, it was lengthy, and that's substantial before you're gonna run too. So there was that, and again, like I said, like I kind of just arrive before things just get going. I just don't like to wait around too much. But yeah, that was a lengthy walk. And then in the corrals were tight. Corrals were close. Yeah. I noticed that. And I appreciated, though, the distance that they released the corrals in.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew the course in that route is pretty narrow. And especially still, you know, you do that path between Boardwalk and the studios.
Yeah.
And that's still very tight, and it's still very early on in the race, so you don't get that spread going yet. So that was still very tight when we were there. And so I can't imagine how it was further back. Was it still tight? You know, I mean,
it wasn't for me. Yeah, I was absolutely fine. And one of the things that I noticed about this race weekend, I don't know if you guys would agree, but I saw a lot more race etiquette. There are a few things here and there. Mike, I know you got jabbed with a lightsaber, I thought that the walkers were really moving over to the side, especially in that tight area. There were a few times here and there that I thought, oh, don't do that. But overall, I thought it wasn't tight for me going through.
Yeah, there are cowboys in every race, so.
Mm.
But Disney did, I have to say, Disney, I noticed personally that they made announcements more frequently, hinting to what the proper race etiquette was.
Mm.
And I appreciated that, and I noticed it. Yeah,
interesting.
So on this course, there were about 18,000 plus finishes, I think 10,000 women and 8,000 men. The course was, the beginning of the course was a little similar to the 10K. As we started again in Epcot, we went around World Showcase, went the other way, we went clockwise, and then we left World Showcase at the International Gateway, and we then went up and around Boardwalk, past Boardwalk and, you know, past the ESPN Club and Flying Fish and all those places. And then we ran the path to the studios, went into the studios, and then we left the studios and we went to the Animal Kingdom and went to, that was the long out and back, the Animal Kingdom on Osceola, and then back from the Animal Kingdom to World of Sports, and then that wonderful gravel road. And then we finished in World of Sports again. So Eve, you did get a chance to run on Sunday and go on that gravel road. And does that gravel road bother you? And also, I'd like to ask you guys, how long do you think that gravel road was? I want to say it was 3/4 of a mile. What do you think?
Oh, I would say it's an eighth of a mile.
Eight, an eighth of a mile?
Yeah. I was going to go with like 400 meters, like the length around one track. It seems like it's longer, but I don't think it is.
Yeah, I would
agree. Maybe at the most a quarter of a mile.
Did you hit that in the dark, Eve, or was it light when you hit it?
It was dark. Yeah, it was dark. It's funny because it was dark, but the sun was kind of like, it was that twilight, that early morning, you know, kind of just right before dawn. So the sky was like a little purple, but it was still dark because of the tree cover and everything. And running over that, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, I kind of like the change, just the way you change your stance and, you know, like your gait when you run over it, it kind of feels good. But I did notice that right before there was an aid station, and I wish they'd kind of make it earlier, because a lot of people stop there, and then to lose momentum on that gravel
good point.
It's not good for me. I mean, maybe that's just me. It's kind of nitpicky. I get it, but I just always noticed that, like, just like maybe like a few hundred yards sooner. I don't know, but yeah.
So I really, for this race, I really noticed the use of the Star Wars music even more than I did in the 10K in Epcot. I thought it was really cool. I saw a lady at Orange Theory who was at the race, and she said there were, I can't remember, 30,000 people there. And Mike, you actually told me that it was about 18,000?
18,100 finishers.
Finishers, okay. It was really interesting to me because I kept on seeing... I think I was in the studios, and I kept on seeing, couldn't have been that, maybe not the studios, maybe just going into the studios. I kept on seeing fireworks. There were so many corrals for this race. There were 13 corrals. So I was in the middle, and I think I was, I can't remember where I was, but they just kept on going off and going off. Some people, somebody, I think the same lady told me that if she saw another thing of fireworks, she was going to scream. She was so tired by the end, like 13 sets of fireworks. One of the things that I thought was really interesting was the whole area going into Animal Kingdom. So you go into Animal Kingdom about mile 7 and you come out at mile 10. And again, for me, this was not a very good race. I felt very sluggish. You know, my time wasn't my best. But when I was coming out of Animal Kingdom at mile 10, that's when I started to see something I've never seen before, which is people getting picked up going into Animal Kingdom. So there was the parade bus there. I actually didn't see the balloon ladies, but I saw people, maybe they were ahead, but people were getting picked up, and there's just a long area. So the people who are getting picked up can actually see the people coming out of Animal Kingdom, and it just made me feel really bad for them. Yeah. I felt really bad. So, but anyway, Mike, we tried something different for this. Well, I actually tried something different. I took your ride in the morning to Epcot, and then instead of hanging around talking to friends at the end of the race, I jumped right on a bus back to my resort. It took 5 minutes, a 5-minute wait, and I was back in my resort in 20 minutes. So from the time I got in line to the time I was back in my resort was 20 minutes instead of 2 hours. So that worked out well for me. How did it work out for you?
Well, again, we do so much for this podcast, so we try all kinds of different things. So
that was a selfish move on my part.
No. So this is what I did, Eve. So I didn't want to risk having the same issue as the day before. So this is what I did. I got in line for the bus to Swan Dolphin Beach Yacht and Boardwalk. And instead of waiting 70 minutes, I waited 12 minutes. So I was on the bus 12 minutes, and then about a 10-minute ride to Beach Club. And then I got off Beach Club. I got all my running stuff, and I didn't check a bag. So basically, I had my running stuff and the box that they gave us at the end of the race and my running belt. That was it. I walked from the Beach Club to International Gateway, got to the because I had my Magic Band, I was going to go through Epcot, and I said to the guard, "Hey, I bet you I'm the only one who you'll see doing this." And they said, "No, several runners have been doing this today." And so I thought, aha, everyone is still reeling from the day before. So I had to take my belt off and show my running belt had no, you know, bad stuff in it. Had to open the box that Disney gave me at the end of the race. Okay, and I was kidding with the guards and everything, and they said, "Well, congratulations! I had my medal. I had the 10K. I had the half. I had the Rebel Challenge. I had the half, the Rebel Challenge, and I had the Kessel Challenge medal because I had done it on California." So Eve, so this is what happened. So then I get by, and would you believe it or not, they said to me, "Could you please step over here? We'd like to scan you." So here I am in running shoes, socks, shorts, shirt, my running belt, and they had to scan me. Even though, I mean, I don't know what I could hide, but they scanned me. So Michelle will tell you that I was a little beside myself.
Yeah, you're actually being very reserved. It
was a week
this.
Away, but I mean, there were some other people who were pretty upset about that.
Yeah. Our favorite cartoonist got scanned about six times.
So then I walked through Epcot, got to my car, and got back to my room, and it wasn't as bad as the day before. I ended up walking I think I did 54,000 steps that day.
Oh my God.
But that seemed to work. And though I had heard that maybe they had figured out how to handle the bus that day, and it was much better. But I mean, it was an interesting exercise, and it just helped that I had my magic band on me, so I could do that.
Yeah.
Before we leave the half, we hadn't talked about characters on the 10K or the half marathon course.
Well, they were all the same.
They were all the same. There was one area in the Animal Kingdom as we were leaving the Animal Kingdom on the right-hand side, as we were hitting the turnstiles, where they had a lot of, I don't know if they were cosplayers or whatever, but there was about 20 or 30 combination of stormtroopers and Jedi knights and things like that. And it wasn't as good as it was out in California, but I thought it was a pretty nice touch. And so I give them props.
Actually,
there
were cosplay when you got into the world of sports. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. That was good.
There was DJ Elliot, too, along the course on the route in and out of Animal Kingdom. He was playing his Star Wars mix.
Yeah.
So, it's time for grades. Eve, half marathon.
I thoroughly enjoyed this one. I give it an A. I didn't deal with the transportation afterwards. I kind of got right on the bus, but I parked at the Poly. And then, you know, I was going to Uber home from the Poly because then, you know, I filled
They still let
me.
You Uber?
You can just, well, here's my thing. If the line's long, just get on the shortest bus to the resort, whatever resort, doesn't matter, and then Uber from there back to wherever you need.
That's smart. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, but we parked at the Poly. Because, you know, that's a preferred parking. You just valet and then you...
Right. That's a good idea.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's what we do for, like, New Year's Eve and stuff like that. We'll valet at, like, you know, the Swan Dolphin and then walk back and then drive from there, because then you just hook a ride on your World Drive and you're not waiting in all that traffic that takes hours to get out of.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's... I would give it an A. I thoroughly enjoyed, like, everything about it. I love the... Well, I like... It's a reverse wine and dine, and I like the wine and dine course. So, and I like racing in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that was great.
Michelle?
I'm going to say a B+. I still think the transportation issues need to be worked out. I did hear a lot of complaints about the lines of the characters still. But I did like the course. The dirt pathway doesn't bother me. So that's what I would give it. What about you?
I'm going to give it a B. I think that the course was so much like the day before, with a few exceptions. I wish that they would try some new courses. I know it's very difficult to do that, but I really would like to see them try different courses. I think the Corral release was done much better than the day before.
I thought that was really good.
I think that the dirt road is an issue for everyone. So that was a issue. I liked my medals. That was good.
And you got the Kessel Run, which
got
is
the Kessel
pretty
Run.
Amazing.
Yep, and that's going to so. Anyways, I got a B. I'd like to transition into the metal thing. And Eve, I don't know if you saw that there are people selling medals on eBay, Star Wars medals, and they're asking for a lot higher than what you normally would see for Run Disney medals, and I'm guessing it's because there are a lot of Star Wars collectors out there that would love these medals. And I don't know, how do you feel about that when you see that? What are your thoughts on that?
You know, there's just Disney fans, Star Wars fans, they're just collection hounds. I mean, I get it, but you know, if you want to sell your medal, sell your medal. I don't think anyone's buying it to say, hey, look what I ran. I think they're buying it because they're like, I need the Star Wars. This is another Star Wars thing I need. And, you know, it's just like it's just a certain mentality. I mean, it personally doesn't bother me. I don't put out my medals. I don't hang them up. It doesn't really bother me at all. Like, I don't know. Like, if I ran it, I'd keep it. Again, I don't necessarily, like, hang them up, but I don't know. It doesn't bother me either way. It's just kind of sad, I guess. I don't know. Just a little sad.
Michelle?
Well, you know, you posted this on our Mickey Miles podcast page, and people made some really excellent points. Somebody said that a friend of theirs was getting one of the box displays of their medals, so they had double. They were going to get another set. So, somebody else pretty much said what you said, Eve. It doesn't hurt anybody, so what's the big deal? You know what? I read all the responses. I wouldn't do it myself, but it doesn't hurt anybody. I really agree with that.
Victimless crime.
Yeah. I think that's a full crime. Set was somebody put them up for $1,200. I think that's ridiculous. But
that would fund
two dopeies, right? you know, it again. I wouldn't sell it, just exactly what you said. But does it hurt anybody? If it makes the person who's selling it happy and the person who's buying it happy, I don't have any problem with it, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, do whatever you want with the medals. There are people who give them away. There are people who sell them. There are people who display them.
It seemed to bother you, though, when you posted it.
It's just this. It depends upon.
You worked really hard for that.
Yeah, I mean, there are people who are, and I don't know how true this is, but I was told, that there are some people who have figured out that if you start a Run Disney race and you run 1 mile, and if you fake an injury, they will take you to the finish line and give you your medal. And there may be some people, I don't know how true that is. I need to find out if that's true. But if that's the case, then these people are doing that for their own, and they're trying to make money off of those people who want the medals. I think if you really think about how hard you work to train and do these medals. You know, you probably don't want to sell them. But again, doesn't hurt anybody, and people want to sell them.
I just want to circle back to one more thing, which is Eve alluded to at the beginning. The thing that people did have a problem with was buying up all the pins for the challenge, and then buying several of the pins and then selling those on eBay. People had a problem with that. They felt that the pins should be reserved for people who actually did the race.
And either that, Michelle, a limit of one pin per person.
Yeah. Why do people need a ton of pins?
Exactly.
I mean, it's kind of like, stop being just stop gouging and stop hoarding and stop this weird behavior. Just stop yourselves. Like, what the... I just don't understand, the mayhem surrounding it. Like, get a grip.
Right.
The buyers, sellers, get a grip.
Right. Be kind. Just be kind to each other.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
All right, so that takes care of the inaugural Dockside Challenge. And I'm thinking, guys, that you're going to see this. This is going to be very popular next year. I think that the light side and the dark side will be very popular next year because of the way that the announcement went, and a lot of people did not get a chance to earn the Kessel Challenge. So I think this will be a very popular and a difficult series to get into for 2017.
Eve, would you do it again?
Yeah, definitely. I enjoy the theme of the race, so I'm in, and I like the course, so it's cool.
Eve, would you go out to the West Coast and do it to get that Kessel?
Yeah. Actually, I think we're doing that next year, I think, actually. We were talking about that. I'm like, yeah, I'll do the Star Wars out there. Yeah, he's like, really? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah,
like,
I think you'll love it. I think you may have a shot at doing a PR for the half out there. I really do.
I think so. It might be nice to race in like cool weather. It's so rare that I do that.
It's very flat. The only problem is that the first 5 miles is in the parks. But anyways, that's for another show. So for Eve Vanderpool, Eve, thanks for coming on and to help us review Star Wars: The Dark Side.
Yep.
So for Eve Vanderpool of Monorail Media, for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road and in the parks.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. Like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. Thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mickeymilespod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.